Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager. This is Fireside Chat. I already cleared it. Number 204. That's Otto. Otto is my bulldog. Otto is in many ways the great feature of the Fireside Chat. I by the way, I'm okay with that. So when people pass me at the airport and just say hi to Otto, I'm okay with that too. By the way, I do want to say something that I sometimes remember to say, most of the time I don't remember to say. All of the Fireside Chats are relevant. They may talk about a subject of the moment, but they're all relevant for hopefully forever. They take on big issues. I always deal with big issues. So feel free to go back to any number. Pick a random number, 37, doesn't matter. And by the way, if you want to binge, it's worthy of binging on. So just a word about the Fireside Chats. Okay, so I'm going to have, let's see, we are three Prager Force members and one PragerU staff member who have been homeschooled. And I want to talk to you about that for a moment, and then we're going to get straight to these young people. I've never met them before, and I assume it will be fascinating. So let me just say this. I have said for decades, sending your kid to college is playing Russian roulette with their values. In Russian roulette, I believe there are six chambers to a gun. One of them has a bullet. So you have a 1 in 6 chance of killing yourself. In college, it's the opposite. 5 of the 6 chambers are filled with bullets. You have a 1 in 6 chance of your kid not being ruined. That's the tragedy. And I mean ruined. And now it's the same for elementary schools and high schools. The tragedy of the desecration of something holy called education in America, done by the left, because the left ruins everything it touches. There has never been an exception since Lenin, Vladimir Lenin. Not the John Lennon of the Beatles fame, is one of the rules of life. I'm not talking about liberals, I'm talking about leftists. I have no problem with liberals except that they vote for the left and thereby ruin liberalism. But that's another subject. What's happening in the schools to your kids? Their innocence is ruined. They have drag queen story hours when they're 5 years of age. They're told that they're not boys and girls, they're students, because we can't have a binary distinction in school. We don't know if they're boys and girls. They may change their mind. These things are really done at schools. America is depicted as a systemically racist, hate-filled, genocidal, imperialist country. I'll give you an example of one of the many, many lies told to your children. That slavery made America rich. That's pure lie. Slavery made America poor. The poorest part of America was the South. The South was the slave states. So that's one proof. Here's an even better proof. About, let's see, 340,000 or so Africans came to the U.S. as slaves. About, I don't know, 5 million, 6 million went to Brazil. What is that, 10 times more? More than 10 times as many slaves. If slavery made America rich, why didn't it make Brazil rich? Why didn't it make the Caribbean rich? It's a lie. There's no truth to slavery made America rich. There's no truth to it. There's no truth to America was founded in 1619. Your children are not only learning lies, they're learning pernicious lies. It's a bad idea to send your kid to a typical American school, private or public. What are the choices? A good school, some exist, or homeschool, which I'm a very big fan of. However, people are afraid. They're intimidated, and I don't blame them. It sounds like you will have to change your whole life if you have your child homeschooled. So we're going to talk to some homeschooled children. By the way, see our film, Miseducated, not as in Miss America, but miseducated as in misstatement or mishap or misdeed. see it, and you'll get an idea of what your kids are, in fact, learning when they go to school, a regular school, a government school, or a private school. So we're going to talk to these four young people who have all been homeschooled, and we're going to find out how intimidating it is. And it might be, by the way. I mean, my commitment is to telling you the truth. But that is the finest alternative, unless you have a great school in your area that exists mostly in rural areas, on rare occasion in an urban locale as well. So we're now going to turn to our homeschooled Prager Force members. Okay, so let's meet you, and we'll start with you, Brett. How old are you?
I'm 19.
And you currently live where?
I live in Boise, Idaho.
Oh, I didn't even establish that when we spoke earlier. But you grew up in Chattanooga?
I lived in Chattanooga until I was about 11 years old, and then I moved to Burbank, California, which is a suburb of LA. And then this past year, I was part of the California exodus, so I left California and went to Idaho.
You and so many others, Idaho is a major, I would say Idaho, I know so many Californians who've moved, Idaho, not in any order, Texas, Tennessee, Florida, those seem to be, then there's Utah and Arizona, but Montana mm-hmm. is also huge. So have you met Californians in Boise?
I have a few of them. We're not as common as I expected, but we all keep a pretty low profile because...
Yeah, they'll throw stones at you.
Yeah,
yes.
They will.
Why do they want people who've ruined one state to ruin another?
Exactly.
I totally get it. It's like New Yorkers in Florida. Don't come. We'll pay you not to come. I get it.
Exactly. So I've prefaced it that my family's from Tennessee.
Very smart.
My parents are from North Carolina and Georgia. So I always say, oh, I'm moving here from the South.
Oh, God. That's very funny. I will be in Chattanooga in a week, ironically. But I love that part of the country. So, okay. So you were homeschooled?
I was, yes.
From the beginning?
I went to public school from kindergarten to third grade and was pulled out. And then I went to public school again in my ninth grade year because I felt like I might be missing something. I think I bought into the idea of the American stereotypical high school that's portrayed in movies and television. And I thought maybe that's something that I should experience or want to. I absolutely despised it. I felt like I was held back that year and my academics suffered, mental health suffered. I really did not enjoy it. And so I finished up the rest of my high school career homeschooling.
You know
again.
Why you didn't enjoy it? Because you're healthy. Let me answer the question. So this is very important. You suffered academically. There is no question that kids in the vast majority of homeschool kids learn more than kids in a regular high school. You feel that that's correct?
Absolutely. And I did on paper, I did well. I ended up first in my class out of about 1,200 students that year.
And that's without doing any work.
Exactly. But I had no joy of learning, which I had for my entire academic career up until that point. I felt like I was sitting in a room for 8 hours while I was being talked at. And I didn't retain as much information as I had in previous years. I felt like what I was being taught, the curricula, was missing something. I had already, been supplementing other kinds of pieces of education from my family. I was doing online classes while still in public school to try to supplement it because my...
So you had learned more in every subject as a homeschooled child?
Absolutely.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So you stayed in a regular high school for 1 year?
1 year.
And then asked to return?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So I'm going to ask all of you something like this, but one more to you about this. So your homeschool, I don't even know if the word class is correct. Mm-hmm. How many did you meet with on a daily basis?
None.
It was just you and your parents?
It was just so from third grade to about or eighth grade, it was my mom creating the curriculum. She did a classical type
education. And just with you?
Just with me.
So how did you meet friends?
I played tons of sports. I was a gymnast. I did ballet for 14 years. I did musical theater. I would take art classes. I volunteered.
Where would you do that if you weren't in a regular school?
Community centers. Honestly, a lot of homeschoolers, you can be part of, like...
Did you have close friends?
Very close friends.
Okay, so I'll leave the $64,000 question for after all of you. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't parents be intimidated in starting this? Okay, so to you, Joseph, how old are you?
I'm 18.
So you're still in quote-unquote high school?
Well, I've been 18 since February, so I'm still in quote-unquote high school, yeah.
Right, and you're being homeschooled?
I am, yeah.
Where?
At home.
What city? I figured that out.
The city is called Lindenwald.
In New Jersey?
In New Jersey, yes.
So you came here from Idaho, you came here from New Jersey?
That is correct.
Okay. You're a member of PragerFORCE. We'll talk about that to all of you later. So what is your story? Are you alone again with a parent, or do you have a group?
If you count my seven other siblings, then yes, I have a group.
Are you Catholic?
I am not. Neither is my parents. My dad is a Reformed Catholic. He's falls under Protestant, evangelical.
Okay, so it's an evangelical one.
Yes.
Right. So whenever I hear seven kids, Orthodox Jew, Mormon, evangelical, Catholic, and I'm right 99% of the time, the others, it's because the birth control didn't work. So you study with all of your siblings?
For the first about 10 years of my homeschool life, yeah.
And right now?
And right now I largely study alone.
Okay, and how did you make friends?
At first, it was because we had a co-op that met once a week, my church, neighbors, and then as I got older, it was online classes.
And you'd meet through the online classes?
Yeah, we would meet on online classes, people from around the world. We'd enter chat rooms together, this one big one called Discord, and then we get to know each other. It's very hard to be fake after 6 months on Discord. Because there's some topics come up that you cannot avoid.
Interesting. So those are friends through the internet. And yes. What about real life friends?
My best friend from childhood was my neighbor.
And still is?
Still is, yes.
I see. Since you did not go like you did, like Brett did, to a regular school... How would you compare, even though you didn't go, how would you compare homeschool to other schools?
I'd say homeschooling is free, as in, like, you have the freedom to learn, you have the freedom to explore topics you're interested in, and you learn at your own pace. For me, about sixth grade, I started overtaking, two of my siblings are really close to me in age, so we were taking the same history course together, but they were going too slow. And my mom tried to hold me back, and she was like, okay.
Oh, they were at school?
No, we were all at home.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could go at your pace. I get it.
My mom tried to hold us back, and then she's like, fine, you know what?
So what do you intend to do now, next year?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure that out.
So what are you debating between?
Well, college-wise, it's would I go in for, would I take photography classes, maybe turn that into a career, maybe go in for... some form of wildlife conservation, whether it's a field biologist or maybe pursue this passion that's developed over the past year for helping people with depression more naturally. I'm just not sure which one at the moment.
Why did that passion develop?
Because I developed severe depression due to my own folly. And then as I was in it, my way to get out of it was to research it.
Wow, that's worthy its own interview. How are you now?
Significantly better. Still have rough days, rough weeks, but significantly better.
Would you rather not openly talk about your folly, as you put it?
I'm perfectly fine with talking about it.
And that folly was?
I spent roughly 8 to 12 hours a day playing video games in a dark room, skipping meals occasionally because I didn't feel like going and eating. I didn't have social interaction. I didn't even interact with my family for the most part. So it was...
I'm very glad I asked you, and I'm glad you were open about it. I've read a lot about the video game issue. Obviously, there's no question you know more about it. I read a very interesting piece by a psychoanalyst, and they described it as you get, it wasn't adrenaline, it was another hormone that is created in the excitement of the video game, and you become addicted to the hormone. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right?
Yeah, works along similar functions with things like social media. It's dopamine is one of them.
Dopamine, yep. There was dopamine, that's correct, yes. So breaking out of it has to be hard.
I'm still trying to break out of it, yeah.
Oh, fascinating. Do you go to a 12-step program?
Largely, it's a mental battle with myself, yeah.
But are there 12-step programs?
I haven't heard of one.
Really? I don't understand why, because video game addiction is real as drug addiction.
That's something I've also been trying to figure out.
Well, if you want to help a community, I know a lot about AA. I have not personally been a member, but I know a lot about it. Family members have, and it's phenomenal. And it gives you a base of humans who have your exact same experience, and it's tremendously empowering. So it's something, since you want to deal with that, even perhaps professionally, you might want to start. There's AA, there's NA, there's Sex Anonymous, there's it's not Food Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, and Gambling Anonymous, now Video Game Anonymous. I'm not joking. I think it's something as real as the others.
I wouldn't disagree, but one thing that people don't recognize is often people addicted to video games, not always, are also addicted to pornography because they go hand in hand. They both run off the dopamine system, and they both have, you're sitting in front of a computer.
What else are they addicted to while we're going down the list?
It can vary.
You know? No, I'm sure. I was just entering the realm of dark humor, which is what keeps me sane. Well, I salute you. Look, all of life is a battle with oneself. This is the greatest single lesson of religion when it's done right. You're supposed to battle yourself from age 3. When a parent says to their kids, say thank you, you're battling yourself. You don't want to say thank you. It doesn't come naturally. The whole point is to battle yourself the rest of your life. So I salute you for doing that. All right, we'll continue in a moment. Thank you. All right. Rachel.
Yes.
Where do you live?
I live in Florida, in the panhandle of Florida.
What are we? We don't want any Californians on our panel? I'm fine with that, actually. Yes. You're in the panhandle, which, as I said earlier, I know to be the central time zone.
Yes, sir.
You're a different world in the panhandle than the rest of Florida.
Yes. Further north you go in Florida.
You're really Alabama.
Yes. We live in L.A., lower Alabama.
Oh, that's right. You live in L.A.,
sir.
Lower Alabama. That's right. I heard that. That's great. So was it a happy childhood?
Absolutely.
Yes. Do you intend to stay there?
In Florida, yes. I mean, I want to live close to my family. We are a very close-knit family. So
how many are there in your family?
There's 9 kids, so that's 11 total.
9, wait.
11 total family members including the parents.
No, you have 8 siblings?
Yes, sir.
Do you know their names?
Yes.
Can I hear them?
Okay, Rob, and then I'm Rachel, Rebecca, Noah, Zeke, Lydia, Selah, Jedediah, and Jethro.
I detect a biblical connection.
Yes, with the exception of my older brother, only because he's a junior. Everyone else is a biblical name.
So are you also evangelicals?
Yes, sir. We're Southern Baptist.
What were your parents raised?
Both of them Southern Baptist.
So they didn't... did they have a born-again experience?
Yes, sir. When they were young, they accepted Christ as their Savior.
So, but they were raised in a Christ-centered family.
Yes, sir.
Right. So you are homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And how many, so in your case also, 9 of you being homeschooled?
Yes.
So how do you answer for the average family that has 2 kids or even 1, how can they manage to homeschool?
Well, I feel like the fewer kids you have, sometimes it's less intimidating because you don't have to worry about multiple ages and grade levels. So for families with a smaller amount of children, it's almost a little bit less daunting.
And you were homeschooled by one or both parents?
My mom was the primary teacher. My dad was the principal.
So if you were bad, you were sent to the principal's office?
Absolutely. And he's an Air Force vet. So, you know, you would get it.
Oh, you don't mess around with Air Force vets. Oh, that's really a riot. I get it. So how old are you?
I'm 19.
And what does that mean in layperson's terms? Is that college age? What are you?
Well, I am a college student, but I am ahead of everybody else. I'm going to graduate with my bachelor's in December.
How old?
I'm 19. I'm a sophomore in college age-wise, but I'm a senior academically.
You're going to have your BA at 20?
I'll have my BS in criminal psychology.
At 20?
At 19. I'll be
19. At 19?
Yes.
And what college?
Liberty University.
But you're doing it online?
Online, yes.
How is that working out?
I enjoy it. It's very much what I'm used to with homeschooling. I taught myself for a lot of my high school career through just reading textbooks, a couple lectures from other curriculums. But for the most part, I taught myself, so
I'm
used to it.
And so what are your hopes for your future?
My ultimate goal is to be a stay-at-home wife and mom, like my mother was and is.
You see, if we have someone here who went to Berkeley, if you said that at Berkeley, you would be stoned. Yes. Not with marijuana, with actual rocks.
Yes.
Yes. I just want to make that clear. She's off camera, but Olivia, does anybody in all of Berkeley say what she just said?
Absolutely not.
Not one.
Not one.
That is exactly what I imagine, that if a girl got up in class when they said, well, so what's your plans? Well, frankly, as much as I'd like a career, I really think the best thing I could do with my life is raise good people. And I'd love to marry a good man. If she had said, I would like to mate with an animal, they would have more respect. I'm not joking. It sounds sick, and it is sick, but I'm not joking. That is about the worst thing one could say. But if you're in Pensacola and you are on Liberty University's website and you come from a Christian home, it's kosher.
Yes.
To mix religious metaphors for a moment. That is priceless. So how are you going to meet a guy? How does it work there? Are you going to go on Hinge? I'm sure you're not going to go on Tinder, but what will you do?
I would love to meet a guy at church. Currently, the people in my age group, I do not believe are at a maturity level that I would expect for marriage. But I would love to meet a man at church who I know shares my same values, both religiously and politically.
I wish you that, because that's pretty. How many kids you want? 9?
As many as the Lord will give me.
All right. So could be, might beat your parents.
Could be.
I bless you with that wish.
Thank you.
Great to meet you. And finally, Taylor.
Yes, sir.
So Taylor, you're part you're staff at PragerU.
I am. Yeah, I've been on staff about a year and a half.
Do they like you? No, that was a joke. We assume if you're still there, they like you. Do you like them?
Oh, yeah. I'm really loving it. Almost everyone. Will Witt gets on my nerves sometimes, but yeah.
That is hilarious. Didn't they make a doormat with Will's name?
They sure did, and it's in front of Craig Strazzeri, our CMO, his office, and he wipes
people don't know that. I've really revealed a PragerU secret. There is a doormat with Will's name on it.
It's not for sale, but it is there.
It's not for sale. Yeah. That's right. That's wrong. It would be wrong to sell it. That's correct. But when I saw that, I burst out laughing. That was Craig did that?
He did, yep.
So we need a Craig doormat. I mean,
Will wanted to fight back, he should get
you
one.
You know, it says in the Bible, eye for an eye, mat for a mat.
Seems just.
It's a well-known read of that verse. So where did we find you? Where were you living when you came to us?
I was actually here in LA. I was working at a marketing firm in Hollywood for a few years. But you know, was not finding meaning in that and saw
No kidding.
Way. Yeah.
That's a shock. At marketing firm in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's a very big source of meaning in life. Yeah. So were you homeschooled?
I was homeschooled for about half of my high school years. And then I had a shorter stint in elementary school that I was homeschooled.
Why half of your high school years?
So I'm from a missionary. I'm a missionary kid. And
what,
I,
Mormon?
Christian. Evangelical.
Oh, really? Yep. Evangelical missionaries. Where did they go?
When I was younger, we lived in Oklahoma, but my dad traveled all over the world. He's been to like over 60 some odd countries. But we had stints living in Brazil, Panama, and Honduras before I graduated high school.
And in those places, you were homeschooled?
Yeah, in part. I would go, like in Brazil, for example, in my eighth grade and ninth grade years, I would go to Brazilian school in Portuguese in the mornings. I didn't learn anything except Portuguese and talk to kids.
Can you speak Portuguese?
Yeah, I'm pretty close to fluent now.
Really?
Yep.
Que horas são?
não sei, são as duas horas da tarde por aí.
He does. He really does. Obrigado.
Obrigado, você.
What else do you speak?
So my Spanish is pretty much on par with that. After learning Portuguese in Brazil, I came back to the States, went to public high school, tested out of a couple levels of Spanish just based on what I learned from Portuguese because they're both Latin-based romance languages, and then learned Spanish after moving to Panama. That's where I graduated high school. And then I studied French in college and did a study abroad in France as well. So I speak French pretty fluently as well.
Very unimpressive. I'm a crazy about languages. I studied a lot myself. I love it. I love that you know it. Now, there's a great example, although I can't credit homeschooling, although that is interesting. Did you learn a foreign language? I know you don't have the mic. You learned Latin? None? Any foreign language?
German and sign language.
Really? German and sign language? You know sign language, Taylor?
I did not know sign language.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. And we hired him? So why, when you say you did half of high school in high school and half home, was that in America?
My sophomore year, I was living in the Nashville area, and that was homeschooled.
So you never went to a high school in the U.S.?
I did. My junior year, I was in Minnesota, and I went to public high school.
It's amazing you're not neurotic. Maybe you need some of his stuff. Yeah, got something for Taylor. He doesn't know what state he's in.
Yeah.
Wait. So I want the chronology. First year of high school, you were where?
Brazil.
And you were going to school there?
Yes. Well, homeschooling in the afternoons, Brazilian public school in the morning.
Second year?
Second year homeschooled in Nashville, completely just homeschooled.
Third year?
Third year, moved to Minnesota, went to public high school there in my junior year.
Okay, good. So you have a public high school experience.
Yes.
How did you enjoy it?
I really didn't. I was... Because of my classes being jumbled, you know, my education was not in the same, you know, system every 4 years. I had a lot of classes with sophomores, even though I was a junior, and had to kind of be a loner. So I basically just went to the public high school, excelled in academically. But after school, I just went and got a job and worked at Starbucks and made a lot of money and, you know, saved up for college. And that was kind of my high
school. What did you do with the fourth year?
Fourth year, we moved to Panama in Central America, and so I was at a Christian English-speaking school in Panama, a private school, and I graduated with about 13 people in that school.
Did you find English-speaking school boring? That was a joke. I'm just kidding, given your previous experience. Is Panama as hot as they say?
Yeah, it's every day it's, you know, somewhere in the 90s usually.
And humid.
And very humid. And
because it's on the equator.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Yeah, but they just have a rainy season and a dry season, but the weather's almost
so
the same.
Were you in an air-conditioned house?
Actually, that's a good question. We had a couple different houses when I was there.
What other question is there? Guy's in 90-degree heat, and it's humid every day, and he thinks it's a good question. That is hilarious. Okay, were there Sherpas fanning you? Was that better?
No, we do have. It's hard to keep it straight. In Brazil, we did not have AC, but in Panama, we did. We had window units and
stuff. In Brazil, you did not have AC?
No, we were.
That's rough.
Yeah.
What city?
Belo Horizonte. So it's the fourth largest city behind Brasilia, São Paulo, and Rio, but no one's ever heard of it. It's got 3 or 4 million people.
But also warm.
But it's warm, but it's kind of in the mountains, so it had a easier climate.
Oh, if it's in the mountains, yeah. I see. Okay, so that's quite an experience. And so you were also Christian?
Yes.
And your parents were born into a Christian home as well?
They kind of were born nominally in Christian households, but really sort of became passionate about it in their early 20s, and that led to...
And how many siblings do you have?
I have 3 siblings.
What happened in your family?
Yeah, we missed the bugger.
Did your mother go on strike? That was a joke. Okay, folks, you gotta live well. Okay, 4 kids?
Or just
yes,
4.
Yes, given your experiences.
Merely 4,
it's like, yeah. I won't ask him their names if he didn't know them.
I only have 4, too.
Oh, really?
Wiccans.
Oh, that's very nice. Why? I don't know. I'll ask you why later. But anyway, so do you recommend homeschooling?
I do. Well, it depends on the context. I mean, having experienced everything, I think the biggest factor is do the parents understand what the students are being exposed to when they go to whatever school environment they're going to? And are they involved in their child's life and talking to them when they come home from school and that type of thing. But homeschool, at least you don't have to worry about what your child's being exposed to, the different culture. And I'm a little bit older than them, obviously. I'm 31. At my time...
You're 31?
I am.
You look 23.
Oh, I'll take that as a compliment. That's
it
good.
Is. Yeah. It is. You don't... Did you know he's 31?
Somewhere around there.
I'm asking Megan, by the way. I'm not looking at a chair. Did you know? Seriously?
No, I didn't. I knew he was somewhere.
Do you all agree with me that he doesn't look 31?
He's a youthful young.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, are you married?
Yes, I was married 2 weeks ago. Just got married.
Oh, that's great. That is exactly the answer I wanted. How'd you meet her? You could say Tinder.
Through a friend group. Okay. Here in LA. Yeah.
Through a what group?
A friend group. My roommate met her, brought her over as part of like some game nights and stuff.
Was she homeschooled?
No, she went to public school in the Atlanta area.
I see. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
You want more than 4 kids?
We're thinking 3 or 4. So I'm on the 4 side. I think she's on the 3 side, but we'll see if we can talk her into it.
It doesn't sound like a very tough thing to work out between 3 and 4. So it's interesting. You all want what you had. Right? That is an interesting insight to a small group. I don't know if it's true generally that people want the number that they grew up with. I wonder if that's true. It ended up with me. My parents had 2 boys. I have 2 boys, and my son has 2 boys. My wife has 2 boys. I don't know anything other than 2 boys. I don't know 3 boys, and I don't know any girls. So I really repeated my experience. All right, so let's talk about homeschooling specifically now that we met you, all right? And anybody could take the mic. Would you all recommend it, or is there any ambivalence on the part of any of you? You would all recommend it?
I think we'd all recommend it, yeah.
Okay, so then... Any of you answer, and this is, I don't know the answer to this question, but I know it's the most important. Every one of you said that a parent supervised your education. Maybe both. So a parent is watching this, knows the dangers of an American school today, and thinks, well, I can't give up my career, my job. We can't afford it. So what do you say to them?
Something that my parents talked about all the time and still do is you mentioned not being able to afford giving up a career. Are you able to afford giving up your child's future and their values and their belief system? So it's kind of weighing the pros and cons of, will we have to stick to a budget? Will we have to live with things less than we have now, but have children who are strong in their values and their morals and who will stand firm on those beliefs? Or will we live less frugally with children who are lukewarm and don't know what their beliefs are?
Well, let me amplify on that answer for a second. So I have a very common thing that I, not common, but frequent thing that I do. almost any adult that I meet who has grown children, I will ask them, and if they're conservative, which most are, I will say, how many children do you have? 3, 4. How many of them share your values? Almost never is the answer all of them. And frequently the answer is none of them. And the pain in that parent is so deep, I don't even pursue the questioning anymore. And they'll just say, yeah, well, they went to college and I lost them. Or now high school. I mean, maybe now kindergarten. So that is simply to reinforce your answer. However, having said that, is there a way, and maybe you know, folks don't know this, but is there a way to homeschool a child and not be full-time homeschool mom or dad?
So I did a couple of different combinations of styles of homeschooling. My mom built my curriculum, like I said, for many years, and she stayed at home. But when I left the public high school, I did an online high school, and the curriculum was completely customizable. So my mom was still able to say, this book is ridiculous. She's not going to read this. She's going to read classic literature instead. She's going to take Latin. She's going to read. My mom was a textbook publisher at W.W. Norton prior to becoming a stay-at-home mom. And so she had textbooks in mind that she wanted me to read, and was able to pick those out. But then independently, I was able to do that studying, and I had teachers that were grading my essays, that were proctoring exams, and she was able to go back to work. And then I never did this personally. I think you mentioned a co-op, I believe, but there are programs where many different parents in a neighborhood or a community.
That's what I was hoping to hear, because it's right. Your parents seem to have made a choice. Mm-hmm. It's not the only choice in homeschooling of a full-time parent doing full-time work with their children. So I just want people to know that. And if you do the research, and it's not hard, you go on the internet, I assume. Co-op, is that one of the things?
They're called co-ops, or there's lots of different words for just this unique styles of homeschooling, whether it's a few families come together and they hire a private teacher, like a governess, and who teaches the children all together, or one parent who excels in math will teach like all 5 kids in the neighborhood math, and then another parent on a different day will teach something else. So you share the responsibility. And sometimes those are parents putting that together themselves, but a lot of cities, a lot of communities have that in place. In Boise, actually, in my small town outside of Boise, I was in our grocery store recently and I saw a sign, and it was one woman who's a former educator who had created a like private homeschool co-op.
Oh, that's basically perfect.
Yep. And yes, she taught everything on her little flyer. It talked about,
and she got paid, presumably.
Exactly. So it's about 12 students, I think, is her max. And she teaches self-reliance, American values, religion. She went through the list on this flyer.
And Portuguese.
Exactly. So there are many options. And especially with how online everything is going, especially now, you know, PragerU Kids and online schools, where parents do not need to be the ones that are facilitating the structure.
Good.
At all times.
I'm glad that you emphasize that. I don't want people to avoid raising good kids because they think they can't afford to. So your answer is right. That answer is right. There are a lot of possibilities. And that's what I assumed. By the way, you folks should watch Miseducated. What would we call it? A little documentary? About it's very eye-opening, even for me, and I really know what's happening in schools because of my radio show. I cover it almost every day. But it is definitely worth watching. It's a PragerU. So you're all in Prager Force?
Yes.
Have you attended any Prager Force meetings, meeting other members from different parts of the world?
This was my first time meeting other
members. Oh, this is your first time?
Yes. My close friend group is comprised almost entirely of Prager Force members, and we travel around the United States, like meeting each other and being together.
God, is that awesome? That really is awesome. That's a way to meet a guy.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about you. And what about you? You want to meet a guy?
Yeah. Working on it.
With somebody specific?
Beginning, but
How'd you meet him?
Online, actually. Hinge.
Yeah, Hinge. So you see, I didn't say Hinge. I said Tinder was a joke, but I didn't say Hinge is a joke.
Yeah, it's positive.
But even Tinder, I know fantastically conservative couples who met on Tinder. I don't care how you meet on the... I don't understand why people avoid online. I don't understand it. You're in total command. You choose what you want.
I was going to say, that's the best part, is that on Hinge, you can specify Christian, you can specify conservative,
exactly.
Religion, and then it filters out everybody else.
I know a girl who simply says, I like Dennis Prager. So every guy on the left knows to avoid her. And she's ruled out. She doesn't have to waste one Starbucks coffee.
The top of my profile, it said, what are your goals in life? And I said, homestead and destroy the Department of Education. And so I knew I would attract the right kind of man.
Oh, my God.
And
I'd have dated you. I just want you to know. Destroy the Department of Education. I would have turned left, turned right, whatever it is. Yeah.
Well, I didn't go to Cal like Olivia did, but I went to UCLA. And so we shared the same experience of we were in, you know, prestigious universities, and we should have been exposed to the right kind of men, basically. And they just weren't there. So you kind of have to take
matters into your own hands. Of course they're not there. This is a tragedy. That's exactly right. Well, I tell young women to pursue marriage early, because I have a very sad motto: good men don't grow on trees. I mean, good women don't grow on trees either, to be honest. But a man has a longer chance, so to speak. And there, it's silly to think. Let me tell you, women, here is an interesting thing. So I ask this question. I think I know what you would answer, and I pray I know what you would answer. But whenever I meet a woman under 30, I love talking to strangers. I don't care. I hug strangers. They could be 90, they could be 19. I don't care. I'm very comfortable with strangers. So if I meet a woman under 30, a waitress, someone in line at the airport, I live at airports, so that's why I use that, sitting next to in some other venue, and I'll say, you mind if I ask you a question? Of course, they always say, no, I don't mind. So here it is. Here's my question. And I think I've said this on Prager, on these chats, but it doesn't matter. So I will say, I'm offering you a choice of two guarantees. You can have one guarantee, but this is really important. It doesn't mean you cannot have the other. It only means one is guaranteed. Which guarantee would you want? The guarantee of a great marriage or the guarantee of a great career? And the answers are so interesting. And it's about 50-50, which is depressing. Just depressing, because they're not going to be as happy. The ones who say great career are just not almost ever going to be as happy as the ones who said great marriage. Especially since you could still have a great career. It's just not guaranteed. The other interesting thing... Why is Otto leaving? This is a new development. You know why? It's more than a half hour. He's paid for a half hour, and that's it. We have to write a new contract that on occasion he has to stay in his bed longer. This is really funny. Just was that on camera that he when he got up and left? Yeah. That is a great moment. So it is so interesting. The ones who say great career. So I will say, well, do you want to get married? Yeah, I'm open to it. That's the most common answer. I'm open to it. I mean, I'm open to 10,000 things, but doesn't mean I care about it. It's like they either really don't give a damn or they can't admit they do. And I'm not sure which it is. I think it's a mixture of both. That is how and then we wonder why is the depression rate among young women higher than ever in recorded American history? It's a great example. So you're all in Prager Force. Have you gone to any Prager Force meetings yet? So you're with friends going visiting Prager Force people around the country. That's a great idea for all of you. And but also we have meetings, you know, periodically. But because of the lockdowns, it's been difficult. Are we going to resume that?
Oh, yeah.
To come to Prager Force meetings. Okay, so we really got a good sense, I think, of you. I hope you'll see, again, miseducated, mm-hmm. right? So would you like to ask me anything? You don't have to, but, you know, you get first chance beyond the people watching.
Yes. I would just like to hear your marriage advice for a newlywed.
So here I have a lot. First of all, you should look on the internet. I have a two-part, I've been writing columns for 20 years every week. So I don't only write on politics. So I wrote a column about 15 years ago, questions you should answer before getting married. The two of you, if you're thinking of getting married. So it's too late, you shouldn't read it. But no. But it's fun to read, and for everybody else, it's on the internet. But I do. You ask for a piece of advice. This will sound not deep, but it's deep. So here is the first question I ask a couple when they're thinking of getting married. I don't ask, do you share values? I don't ask, do you love each other? I don't ask, are you in love? I ask them, do you enjoy each other? And someone who's been married many years, not in one marriage, but many years, I'm telling you, that's what it comes down to. Because that includes everything. Do you enjoy each other? Includes values. I'm not going to enjoy someone who thinks America is a cesspool. Okay? No matter how wonderful the human, I can't enjoy someone who has the opposite values of mine. So it includes all these things. It may not include, are you in love? I think in love is great. I don't want to knock that. But nevertheless, there are people who love each other and don't enjoy each other. Just as there are people who love each other and don't like each other. There are a lot of parents who love their kids and don't like them. I think like is more sustaining than love in the long run. And I'm a big fan of love and I really love my wife. Nevertheless, if you told me I could have one or the other, I would take like. So that's why I do ask, do you enjoy each other? Related to that is, do you miss the person when you're not together? That to me is about as great a question and thing to have as you can have. And I am really happy to say I miss my wife when I'm not with her. And whenever I come home, I look at her and I go, honey, you missed me. Which is not what any of you expected right now. But she's learned to find me funny. In any event, that's what I... was that at all helpful?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Good, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to bounce an idea off me or a question? Want to ask me the capital of Idaho?
Well, I guess just...
By the way, it's not Boise, it's Boise. You said Boise.
Boise.
See, I listened to that stuff. Did you pick that up?
I didn't, no.
Everybody says Boise, correct? Outside of Boise. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of places like that where the locals are the only ones who pronounce it a certain mm-hmm. way. Okay, yes.
I suppose just another advice question. What is your best piece of advice for a young person like myself after college?
Find a spouse.
I'm working on it.
Yes, I know you are. That is my best piece of advice. If people are asking me that career-wise, I've talked a lot about this, including on Fireside Chats, about the whole issue of, you know, follow your passion, which is, if you can make your passion a livelihood, you're very lucky. Most people can't. I mean, what if your passion, you who said photography? You did? So I happen to be into photography. So are you pretty good at it? Do you have a good camera?
I mean, I'd say I'm pretty good at it, but that's just me bouncing off other people. I'm not very good at being proud of myself.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's good. What do you like to photograph?
Usually nature-related, so macro, birds, wildlife, landscape.
So this is awesome. So I've been into photography my whole life. When I was your age, I would have given the exact same answer. Then at about midway in my life, I completely went to photographing people. My interest in photographing mountains today is so much smaller. But when I was your age, landscape photography, I traveled with a tripod so I could have the smallest f-stop and get the most detail. So that's a good example of, it's very tough to make a living in photography, very tough. And what's your camera, by the way?
The Canon EOS 80D.
Is that a full frame?
No, it is not.
Right. So, okay, that doesn't matter. I was just curious. You'll want a full frame eventually.
Eventually, yes.
Yeah, you can get great shots with the 80D, yeah. I have the 5R. Yeah, so you, okay. Did you see? I hope they caught that. Had I said I have a Rolls Royce, he would not have reacted that way. And I don't blame you. I have no interest in a Rolls Royce, but a 5R? Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. It's almost hard not to take a great picture. That's how good it is. So anyway, so here's a good example. That's your passion, or one of your passions, let's say. And the question is, can you make a living doing it? Now, my father's passion is a great example. My father's passion... And I did this on a fireside chat. I vividly recall this. Recently? So I won't belabor the point. I'll just tell you, he really wanted to be a doctor. Really, really did. And this was the 1930s or 40s. And his family had no money to send him to medical school. So he became an accountant. This is like, what does that have to do with medicine? Nothing. And he ended up loving being an accountant. And that was a great credit to him. He decided to love what he did instead of doing what he loved. So that's a piece of advice I would give people. You may end up doing something. And my belief is there is almost nothing I couldn't love doing. I would talk myself into it and love it. You know, obviously, I'm beyond belief lucky to make a good living doing what I do. But if I didn't do this, I would do something else, and I wouldn't be an unhappy man. I wouldn't let myself be an unhappy man. Those of you who did not see my interview with Yanmi Park, you have missed something. You can see it, obviously. It's two episodes ago. This woman was sex trafficked as a young teenage girl in China. She was from North Korea. The woman radiated happiness. If she had PTSD, you would understand it. If she were taking massive antidepressants, you would understand it. And I asked her, why are you happy? Your father was tortured almost to death by the North Koreans. You watched your mother raped. You were trafficked as a Korean in China. And at 13, why are you happy? And she said, I chose to be. Which is my belief. That is deeply my belief. Everything in life is a choice. Everything. It's one of, did I ever talk about that on Fireside Chat?
It's been a while.
Yeah. That was the sermon I gave for my Jewish High Holy Day services. You choose everything. You choose to be happy. By the way, this was something maybe I should talk about. You choose to be religious. People think that they lead a religious life when they come into faith. I don't believe that. Some do. I didn't. I chose to lead a religious life because I didn't want to lead a secular life. I knew where happiness and meaning were. And it was the greatest choice I ever made. So life is filled with choices. like choosing to get married. It's a choice that a lot of your generation isn't making. And they will pay the price later on in life. Of that, there's no doubt. So anyway, that's my view on the passion issue and what you do for a living. So good luck. Good. Anything else? Anybody want to raise an issue?
We'll see.
Good.
What are the things that give you hope for the future of this country?
You. No, I'm not being cute. I just spoke in Hungary to young people because of PragerU. They watched the videos. They invited me. Same in Romania 3 years ago. When I meet young people who treasure freedom, that begins with that, treasure liberty and have good values and believe in personal responsibility and kindness, et cetera, I get hope then. Having said that, I want you to know the crisis in America is unprecedented. We have never, ever debated the issue of free speech, let alone suppressed it. It was the one thing everybody agreed on. I may hate what you say, but you can say it. And the left has destroyed free speech to a large extent in this country for the first time in American history. It has never happened since 1776. This is why we got the Statue of Liberty from France, and they didn't give it to any other country, and they didn't keep it for themselves, because this is the freest country, or was, till the left took over. It's a very, very, I don't want to depress you, but I don't want to fool you into a fool's paradise. You are inheriting a much worse America than I inherited from my parents. There is no comparison. My biggest concerns in high school were girls, not freedom, not can I practice my religion, not will I be fired from my job because they don't like my opinion. It didn't occur to me. I could worry about little stuff. Not that girls was little stuff, but you understand what I'm saying. I didn't have any macro worries, none. Communism was an evil. We had to confront it, but America's not communist. But America is closer to what the Soviet Union was today than to America at my age. That is mind-blowing. And I know it because I went to the Soviet Union a lot and I speak Russian. And that was my field of study. So you have real battles ahead. And I'll tell you this, you will get a lot of meaning fighting for a good cause. I mean, I'd rather you could think about other things, but there is a reward in struggle. There is. I mean, clearly for those of you a Christian, which is all of you, suffering for truth is a very basic Christian theological value. Where, I have a joke that I tell. So I made this up. It's a very funny story I made up. I tell this to Christian audiences and to Jewish audiences. So imagine a Jewish group, a Protestant group, and a Catholic group. They're going to have a beautiful interreligious, interfaith lunch together. And it's set up that they're all given overripe cantaloupe. Which group will complain the most? So everyone knows the Jews will complain the most. So it's a given. I'm Jewish. I could say it. No problem. It's a given the Jews will complain. I don't know. Between the Protestants and the Catholics, it's a tough call. So the question is why? So I have a whole bunch of theories on why. But one is Christian theology holds that suffering is Christ-like. Jews think suffering stinks. Jews find nothing good about suffering. Christians, on the other hand, Christ suffered on the cross for me, so I'm going to give a damn about cantaloupe. So that's my theory. I mean, theory on almost everything. So anyway, you're going to suffer. That's just it. But if you're prepared to, you'll lead. It's a worthy cause to protect this country against the left. But so the hope issue, yes, I have hope. But I one final answer to your question. I don't do anything based on whether I'm optimistic or pessimistic. I think optimism and pessimism are useless. The pessimist tends not to do anything. It's going to come out crappy anyway. Why do anything? The optimist tends not to do anything. It'll in the end, it'll all work out. Why do anything? So they're both excuses not to fight. Mm-hmm. I only have one question. What do I have to do? And that's what motivates me, as well as what does God want me to do? That's a big, they're the same thing, basically. But I don't ask, will it work? I mean, I do ask that. I hope it'll work. But I ask, what do I have to do? That's the question that I think should propel you. So anyway, you do. But you do, working at PragerU is a massive source of strength to me. There's no doubt, and to you who work there, or are affiliated there in your way.
Do you have a question?
I do have one question.
You do?
Well,
he's going to ask me a photography question.
Well, in that case, then I have three questions. Uh-huh. Two should be short, but I know photography discussions can go quite long. Number one was suggested to me by, I'm not going to name who. What is your favorite bird?
That's hilarious. I don't have a favorite bird.
I suspected as much.
Yes. Well, at least I'm honest. I should have said the Northwest Colorado hummingbird. No, that's not a bird. Eagle. Okay. I don't have an answer. The bald eagle. That's my favorite. There we go. The bald eagle. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to ask the more serious question first so I don't misplace the words. So you said we should be fighting for the country, correct?
Right.
How?
There are many, many ways of fighting.
Right.
Okay. The biggest way to fight, or one of the biggest, I mean, look, there are people who run for office and they'll fight. But most people don't run for office. It's a very small group of people. And not everyone who runs for office is fighting. But I believe for 99% of people, the answer is be outspoken. Do not be afraid to lose friends. Do not be afraid to be cursed at. But in a sophisticated way. You know why PragerU was successful? There are many reasons. But you know what one of the biggest is? We're sophisticated. We don't say stupid things. We don't say lines out of emotion. Everything is thought through. We fight, but we fight smart. So you don't write on your Facebook page F and then fill in the name of some leftist. They do that and they're children. We are to be adults. So put on your Facebook page, you know, I saw this column which provoked me to think about things. And you know, it could be a column by I'm only saying someone like me. I'm not saying by me. I don't care if it's me or someone like me, but a column that makes people think. And I'll give you an example. My column just 2 weeks ago was colorblind is the ideal. The left says colorblind is racist. Colorblind is the most non-racist possible view. Every liberal believed in colorblind as the goal. The left is racist. Liberals are not. Conservatives are not. Colorblind is the ideal. Your color, this actually happened today. So I'm walking to my car outside my radio and guy comes over to me, Dennis Prager, which happens a lot. And I'm very touched by it. I have no complaints at all. Dennis Prager, I go, yes, I'm Hispanic. Or no, I'm Latino, and I love you. And I go, that's great. Here's my nephew, and I tell him, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't have white skin, you could still be conservative. So I looked at this kid, it must have been like 19, and I said, let me tell you my view. The color of your skin doesn't mean an effing, and I said the word, it wasn't effing, doesn't mean an effing thing. Your skin color is less important than your shoe color. Great to meet you. That is the antithesis of racism. I don't give a damn about your color. I truly don't. Do you give a damn about your own color? You look in the mirror and you go, oh, a white person. No, you don't. You go that you say your name, right? I see Dennis in the mirror, not white. So this is the battle to be waged. You've got to be outspoken. You got to come out of the closet. What's your third question?
What is your preferred camera?
The R5. Let me tell you what I've done in my life. In a nutshell, because I could talk about any of my hobbies all day. Ever since I was a kid, I bought the most expensive camera I could possibly afford. If it meant going without lunch for a month or two, I didn't give a damn. I much rather have a great camera than lunch. So I would buy constantly the very best camera from my mid-20s, I would buy the best camera made, 35 millimeter. I couldn't afford a Hasselblad. And then the new model would come out that was better. I kept the box. I kept everything, sold the previous one, and got the very best. And I've done that to this day. I now have what I believe is the best digital camera made, and the R5 of Canon. And so when they come out with a better R5 Model 2, I will trade in the R5 and do it again. Because I always wanted to have the best camera. Not the best car. That's who you choose. What you have to choose in life. Unless you're rich, you can't have the best everything. And the best camera is not going to, you know, set you back. Well, it does. I know you looked at me. Well, at your age, I didn't afford that either. I remember my first one. You could look it up. It does. They don't make cameras anymore. Yashica. That was my camera. Well, you guys have been great. It has been a joy meeting you. I intend to dance at your weddings. I have a one-track mind on that subject. Just want you to know. I want people to get married. I do. It's very, very important for them and for society. Anyway, this has been just riveting. It has been a joy having these people on the program, on the Fireside Chat. And I remind you, they're all worth watching. If you missed Yan Mi Park, that interview with the North Korean the woman who escaped, that's life-changing. And I don't use that term frequently. Anyway, in a sense, I want all the Fireside Chats to be life-changing. So thank you for watching. Otto returned for the very end. We thank you, Otto, for your return. I'll see you next week.
Hi, everybody. It's Amal Epinobi, PragerU's newest personality. Now, if you're subscribed to PragerU, you've probably seen my face in the videos. But if you want to hear more from me, I host a brand new daily podcast with Will Witt called Will and Amal Live, where we talk news, pop culture, and hot current events. Tune in weekdays at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, or subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Play and never miss an episode.